This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Star of light, star with royal beauty bright, lead us to yourself, lead us to the babe in a manger, lead us on this journey of faith. May your Holy Spirit guide us now as we look into your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So last week we looked at the prophecy candle of hope. And we saw that prophecy in the Old Testament in Isaiah that spoke of the coming kingdom that was promised. And we saw that that kingdom was a kingdom of light, of joy, of peace. We saw that it promised a king who is a descendant of Adam, a man, a king of power. He was called Wonderful. He's called Counselor, one that we can go to for counsel. He's called the Mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. He is a king who is to usher in the peace into the world. And we saw that his reign was a reign of increase. It says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And that promise is that the coming kingdom of God is going to increase continually, and nothing and nobody is going to stop it. And we know this because it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts should accomplish this. So we have these promises of hope. But sometimes in our day-to-day walk, sometimes in our daily life, we realize that it's hard. We realize that it's difficult to see it. And this week we look at the Bethlehem candle of faith, because it takes faith to believe God's promises. We need to believe that He is faithful, believe that He is true. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. If you have a Bible handy, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And that is true before our conversion, after our conversion. We are to be on this walk of faith. This life that we've been given is a journey of faith. And as the account we'll see in the wise men from the east, everybody knows that Christmas bumper sticker. I love it. You see it on signs and stuff. It says, "Wise men still seek Him." And that is very true. So we're going to look at this account of the wise men and see the aspects of faith that's portrayed in their lives. We'll see here that the wise men and their account gives us three descriptions of this walk of faith. First, that it is a walk of travels, that we've been given a path to walk on. Secondly, is a walk of troubles, that along this path we will come across people who want to give us trouble. And thirdly, it'll be a walk of treasures, as we'll see the treasures that are found on this journey of faith. First, this walk of faith is a walk of travels. Turn in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And look at the first two verses here as we look at the account of the wise men. The Bible says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king." Bethlehem of Judea. We just heard from Brother Keith the promise that the Son of God was to be born in Bethlehem. And here come wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying in verse 2, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, some translations would put wise men, they would say magi. And that's where we get the word magicians. But these men were not men who took their top hat and pulled a bunny out of the hat. These were philosophers. These were astrologers. These were possibly royalty. Men of high standing and wealth. And the question is, they're from the East. Why are they traveling to Jerusalem? Why are they coming to Jerusalem? Why are they seeking the King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the East and we have come to worship him. Well, at that time, the Jews had been dispersed throughout all surrounding countries. And no doubt, the surrounding countries would have caught wind of these prophecies. If you remember in the book of Daniel, it was prophesied after so many weeks, 70 weeks, after so many, such amount of time, the Son of God was to make his appearing. And so there's this commotion during this age, in the first century, that the Messiah is coming. And these wise men caught wind of this. And they said they saw the star. They believed the prophecy. They exercised faith upon God's word, and God sent them a star to lead them to the appearing anointed one. God sent them a path. God put them on a walk of travels. The Bible says that God has sent the human race a star. God has sent each and every person who walks on the face of the planet a star on a path, on a travel. Look in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Put a bookmark there, your finger, the book of Acts, chapter 17. And here we see Paul describing this specific path that God has placed each person on. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 26, the Bible says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth." Listen now, "and has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Why? "So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." The Bible says that God has given each human a star. But until the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, until they submit to the death of Jesus on the cross for their sins, they're in darkness. They're in blindness. There's a path there, but they can't see it. And it says that they're groping in the darkness and they can't see. But when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in Him, the Holy Spirit comes and illuminates us and opens our eyes, and soon we discover that we are on a path. God has placed us on a path to travel on. And His Holy Spirit is the star, so to speak, to illuminate that path. And every path is different. When God illuminates your path, He has given you a unique and specific pathway that you are to travel on. He has specific places He wants you to go. He has specific things He wants you to do. And this pathway is there, and you are to seek Him to guide you on this pathway. One of you may have a pathway to be a missionary to India. If that is your path, go. One of you may have a path to be an employer in your job. So tomorrow, take your path and go. Each one of you has been given a unique, fine-tuned path to travel on. And every step on that pathway leads into a more intimate and closer relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why it doesn't matter where it is, whether it is across the country or across the street. If you are on that unique path that God has given you, every step you take is a closer, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a closer step to knowing Him, to loving Him, to experiencing His grace in your life. It is a path to travel on that He has fine-tuned for your life. The Bible says that we walk by faith and we walk not by sight. As the Holy Spirit illuminates our path, He shows us what steps we are to take. Now, we are creatures with a soul, and we have been given a will. Therefore, we have the capacity to wander off of the path, as we often do. There are times in our lives where we make decisions where we walk by sight and our own human reasoning, and we step off of the path, and we become out of God's intended will for our lives. But He is a gentle shepherd. God is a shepherd, and He takes His staff and He leads us back onto that pathway. He leads us back into the steps that He would have us take for His plan and His purpose in our lives. Even if a Christian finds themselves where they have made a decision that is irrevocable, God has placed them on this path, they make a decision, and it totally finds themselves lost in the woods. Completely lost. Can't see that path. A decision that is totally life-changing, that was not God's intended will. Even in that situation, if we are illuminated, if we are saved, if the Holy Spirit is inside of us, He will come. If we seek Him, if we ask for forgiveness, if we ask for change to guide us in this life, He will come and He will cut down the trees and He will cut away the briars and He will make a new, beautiful path for you. If we've been illuminated, if we've been saved, then the Holy Spirit is a star and shall lead us every step that we are to take. This walk of faith is a walk of travels. We are to exercise faith in God, believing Him, and daily, every moment we rise from bed, every day we rise, and every day we go to bed, we need to seek God and ask Him, what steps do you want me to take on this path? And He will lead you. As you have an intimate relationship with Him, as you are seeking Him daily, as you are obeying His word, following His guidance, being compelled by the Spirit to go this way or that, He shall lead you. He shall lead you on this path of travels. God sent the wise men a star to lead them to the babe in a manger, and they were on a walk of travels. But this walk is not only a walk of travels, brothers and sisters. It is a walk of troubles. It is a walk of troubles. Look in Matthew here, verses 3 on to 8, and we'll see the troubles that were sent. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. King Herod had a plan up his sleeve. He was determined to bring trouble to the wise men on their travels. And this is why. Because when we walk by faith and not by sight, when we are on the path that God has set for us, we will rub shoulders with people who are not on this pathway. And that's going to create problems. Because they're going to realize that you are on a pathway that is right. You're on a path that is good. And they're going to realize that they are not on this pathway. And it's going to create jealousy. It's going to create hatred. It's going to create all these influences and desires to stop you, to trouble you. The wise men said to King Herod, we are going to find the king of the Jews. Herod was the king of the Jews. So appointed by the Romans, but not appointed by God. And so as you walk in this path, As you obey God, people will see, people will discover, and it's going to create issues. It's going to create conflict. So the Bible tells us to expect these kinds of troubles. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible describes that we are to expect this kind of troubling. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. The Bible is telling us, Peter is telling us, that we are to expect this kind of troubles as we walk on this walk of faith. If you are reproached with the name of Christ, blessed are you. If you're obeying God, if you're walking with God, if you're seeking God, and all these difficulties from other people are falling upon you, the Bible says, blessed are you. You are receiving blessing. Blessed are you. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If you weren't experiencing these troubles, the Bible says that the Spirit and of glory may not be there. It may not be there. On their part, He is blasphemed. But on your part, He is glorified. So those who are troubling you, they're blaspheming God. They're going to have to stand before God on the last day and give an account. But on your part, God is glorified. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now listen now in verse 15. This is very interesting. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. And we as Christians sometimes we get this mixed up. We see two different kinds of trouble here. The first kind of trouble is others inflicted. There are people outside that are inflicting trouble on your life for your walk of faith. And this kind of trouble described here is self-inflicted. It's the kind of trouble that's not promised to a believer. We have been liberated by the Holy Spirit from these vices so that we don't have to undergo the consequences of them. And when we do stumble, and when we do find ourselves outside of the path, we just ask for forgiveness, and God changes our hearts so that we don't want to do those things, and He leads us back on the path. But that is a kind of trouble that we don't need to get mixed up, because sometimes Christians will make a decision, and it's outside of God's will, and it's not according to His word, and then they are suffering consequences because of the decisions, and they say, well, we are to suffer persecution in this life. We are to suffer, persecution. We are to go through trouble. But that's not the kind of trouble that God was promising. He was promising a kind of trouble that as you walk by faith in obedience to God, people will come and persecute you. And you are blessed because of that. That is the kind of trouble. And so we humbly ask God to show us in our hearts where these areas we need help in, where these areas we need growth in, and He will show us because His Holy Spirit is illuminating. It comes in our soul and it illuminates us and shows us those things. Let none of you suffer as a murderer. Let us not hate one another. Let us not have ill motives toward one another. Let none of you suffer as a thief. Let us not take advantage of one another. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer. Not to have false motives and poor motives in our hearts for what we do. Let us not suffer as a busybody in other people's matters. The Bible says that we are to be having others' interests above our own. And so when we do these things, we ask God to lead us how to be counter to this thing. And His Holy Spirit comes and the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes through us to live in a righteous way. We don't suffer the trouble that comes from those consequences. But we are promised a trouble that comes from others. There will be King Herod's. who will try to stop us. But the promise here is that there is a blessing to be had in knowing that we are in the will of God on His path. There's a blessing in knowing that we are a wise man following the star, leading us along. People will see they're not on the path. They wish they were on the path. So rather than perhaps maybe they see your life, they could say, hey, I want to be on that path too. And God would illuminate their eyes and they join on this path of faith. That's great. But more often than not, what they'll try to do is take your arm and try to draw you off of the path. And the call here is to stay faithful. Stay faithful day by day, abiding in Christ, following His star, staying on this walk, this journey of faith. So we see that as a walk of travels, a walk of troubles. Lastly, it is a walk of treasures. A walk of treasures. Look at verse 9 back in Matthew here. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This walk of faith, this journey of faith, promises treasures. But notice in the passage, the wise men didn't come to Christ, come to the Son of God, come to the babe in a manger, and then they got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And this is another thing that Christian circles can get mixed up. We sometimes get the idea that coming to Christ, being a Christian, means that we will gain all of the gold, and we will gain all of the frankincense, and we will gain all of the myrrh. We will get the treasures. But that is not true. The wise men gave that which they had in their possession, because they discover that He Himself, Jesus Christ Himself, is the greatest treasure. Above all the gold of this world, above all the frankincense of material blessings, above all the myrrh of pleasures in this world, Jesus Christ is the chief treasure. He is the one satisfying person in our lives. Above all things, the Bible says the world and this desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God has eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, which moth and rust can destroy and a thief can come in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot touch, where a thief cannot break in and steal. The Lord blessed these wise men with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He gave them the material blessings, but they recognized that anything they had was because of the chief treasure found in Christ. He is the greatest treasure. Remember Abraham? He's called a man of faith. He's called the father of faith. And God promised to him that he would have land and lineage. Great land and great lineage. But what did he say to Abraham? Remember, he said, Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. I am your exceedingly great reward. And brothers and sisters, through this whole life, we will find that on this walk of faith, above all the money, above all the wealth, above all the prestige, above all the stuff, above all the pleasures, we will find that God Himself and Jesus Christ is the exceedingly great reward. We were made for Him. We were designed to love Him, to cherish Him, to prize Him. And outside of Him, we will find no fulfillment. We may find temporary fulfillment, we might find temporary pleasure, but in the end, it will be burned up. How does the saying go? Only one life, till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. Now, what kind of treasures are found in Jesus Christ? Exactly. What kind of treasure is found? Well, there's a couple of things. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We'll see what kind of treasures are found in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That amazes me to think that in Christ, every spiritual blessing that we could possibly conceive of has been found and has been given to us. What kind of spiritual blessings? Just read on. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Look now, verse 7. In Him, in the babe, we have redemption through His blood. In Him we have the forgiveness of sins. What better treasure than to know that the wrongdoings we have done, the sins we have committed against God, can be forgiven in Christ. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, the treasures of His grace, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And it goes on and on. Spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing are found in a little baby at the end of the journey. Every spiritual blessing. What else? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. What other treasure is found in Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It's like this verse is just kind of thrown in there. It's like this verse is as a matter of fact. For all the promises of God in Him are yes. All the promises of God in Him are yes. Every promise. If you're on this walk of faith, if you're on these travels, if you're on this path, if you've been illuminated by the Holy Spirit and you can see the path and the travels in front of you, in this Bible, every single promise that God has ever made from cover to cover is yes. Is yes for you. When we step off of this path and when we sin against God, we find that the promises are disjointed. They are disjointed. When we confess our sins, He leads us back. We find that the promises are being fulfilled left and right all the time. Every single promise that we have, Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Is that a treasure for you that is in Christ Jesus? Yes. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is that a treasure for you who is in Christ Jesus? Yes. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Is that a treasure that is for us in Christ Jesus? Absolutely, yes. Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains shall not depart, and the hills shall not be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Is that a treasure for you in Christ Jesus? Absolutely, yes. Proverbs 23, verse 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Is that a treasure for you in Christ Jesus? Absolutely, yes. Look at the New Testament, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Is that a treasure for you in Christ Jesus? Absolutely, yes. Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and his glory by Christ Jesus. Is that a promise for you? Yes. 1 Corinthians 15:58, perhaps one of my favorite promises in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything you do on this path, every step you take, every step of obedience that you make day by day is not in vain, no matter what you see in your life change. No matter what circumstances change, every step of obedience is not in vain, and that is a precious treasure to me, and it is a precious treasure to you. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, I lack wisdom, okay? This is for me. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Is that a treasure for you who is in Christ Jesus? Absolutely, yes. John 8, 36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 14, verse 13 and 14, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never, ever, ever die. Ever. We'll just step from one step of life to the next. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that a treasure for you who are in Christ Jesus? Absolutely, yes. And on and on and on. The point is this, this walk of faith, this journey of faith is a walk of treasures. Unbelievable treasures. And Christ himself, Jesus Christ himself, is the vault of endless supply of spiritual blessings, of fulfilled promises, of promises of holiness, victory over sin, victory over temptation, promises of intimate relationship with God, promises of eternal life and joy and peace and bliss, promises of strength to take the next step on this walk. Endless supply of treasures with he himself as the chief treasure. Brothers and sisters, like wise men, we have been placed on a path. We have been placed on a path. We have been given a road to travel on. The Holy Spirit is our star, and he is leading us to the babe in a manger. And every step we take is a closer, intimate walk with Him. A closer, intimate relationship with Him. He is here with us now. He indwells us now. He is with us on the journey. But the day will come at the end of the journey when we shall behold His face. We shall close the eyes of flesh. We will open the eyes of faith and we will see Jesus. And we will cherish Him. And we will lay aside our works that we've done in this world. We will lay down the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh that we have accumulated throughout the years. We will lay down that which He has accomplished through us. And we will worship Him. We will cherish Him. And that, in and of itself, is a perfect motivation for us here. It motivates us to get through the troubles. It motivates us to have an extra step on our travels. It gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. The question I have for everyone here this morning, do you know that there is a star leading you? Do you know that there is a star leading your path? Have you come to the point in your life when you've been illuminated, when you've seen the star in the sky? The star is here now. The Holy Spirit is present, ready to open the eyes of all who will put their faith in Him, all who will believe that He came for you, and He died for you, and He loves you, and He doesn't want you to suffer His wrath because of your sins against Him. He wants there to be a restored relationship. And you can come to Him, and you can ask Him, God, I am blind. I am groping. Open my eyes and show me where I am, that I may begin this journey of faith. You can do that right now as we pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for the journey that You have sent each one of us, that You have created for each one of us. I thank You for the fine-tuned path that You have laid out, the clearing through the brush that You have made. And I ask, Father, that my brothers and sisters in Christ here would step out tomorrow and see that path before them. See that step that they are to take. See the way that You have cleared away the briars that has grown. That You have cleared away the trees that has blocked their view. Please may they step out in faith and see the path before them. And may every step be a beautiful communion with God as they see the vault of treasures in His hand. And I pray if there's anyone here listening who has not seen the light of the star, who feels that their life is in a darkness, may they now be shown the light of the glory of God and the salvation found in no other name but Jesus Christ, who gave everything, His life, for their life. May they come to Him and ask for that illumination, for that salvation, and join on this path, on this journey. I pray, God, may You bless us as we enter into the precious communion. In Jesus' name, amen.